This program was brought to you by Eat On North. Eat On North is a casual restaurant where honest, uncomplicated food is served without pretension. Find Eat On North at hotelonnorth.com.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Mary Izette.
From The Mad Body. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Love Bites, coming at you live from Heritage Radio Network. Today is Monday, April 25th. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo. I write about people who make food. You can find my work and me as at wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight, and single.
And I'm Jonathan Weiner, your guest host for the day. I'm an actor, an occasional bartender and server, very occasionally. I'm 34, gay and single.
Hi, John.
Hi.
So you're helping to kick off the third season of Love Bites, and there's so much to talk about before we even get to our guest for the day. Willkommen. Bienvenue.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to sing
Danke.
Danke. Oh. So listeners, I'm so excited that we are back at Heritage Radio for our third season. And there's a lot that's going to come on this season that it might be new. First of all, Benjamin is not here, sadly.
Sadly. I'm your stand-in Jewish boy for the day.
I have plenty of them in my back pocket. There's more coming. So so Ben is off in Maine at the Public Theater doing a show there for the next couple of weeks. You will not be without him for too long, though. Next week, we have a pre-recorded show about going to your ex's wedding.
Why is that? Jackie?
Because I will be going to my ex's wedding.
Uh-huh.
Actually, with Ben in the wedding party and with you, Bubby, as my date.
I know.
So yeah, this guy that we all went to college with. So next week, we've already recorded a show about going to your ex's wedding, and then we have guest Daniel Nyden on. He is a wedding officiant, and so he's going to talk about the things that you should talk about with your betrothed before you walk down the aisle. So that is coming. We have a new theme song. It's Give Love by Josh Dion, who we've been all listening to for over a decade now in New York City. He's now with a band called Paris Monster. He tours with other bands. You can get information about him at parismonster.com. That Give Love is one of my favorite songs
He's amazing.
Ever. And yeah, you just want to like
so
boogie your booty down to Josh Dion.
Which
we were just doing. So thank you so much, Josh, for being our theme song for our third season. We also have travel shows coming up. I'm going to San Antonio, so Love Bites is going to go to San Antonio, and then a month later, we're going to go to Louisville. We have Our Bodies, Ourselves coming up this season, where we are going to expand our relationship discussions to discussions about our bodies and how they affect dating and relationships and the work we do in hospitality, things like that.
Perfect for bikini season.
Perfect for bikini, right? I didn't even contemplate the idea of bikini season. But yeah, so Our Bodies, Ourselves is coming, and later after our break, we're going to be joined by Steve Vixjo and Lucas Volger, two-thirds of the team behind Jerry Magazine, a biannual print magazine that explores where food and gay culture intersect, which is really why I have you here, John.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for being my spokesperson. And we're also going to sip and chat about Simi Winery's 2014 Dry Rosé 2. So that is coming up after the break. Stick around. But before we even get there, we are going to talk today about being friends with an ex in general, because one of us, not me, has a story to tell. But before we John, I have a question for you, and we're going to ask Steve and Lucas this later.
Sure.
What is the most stupid thing you've done on a first date?
I mean, stupid is so relative.
Stupid stupid does.
That's true, mama. You know what? This is the most recent stupid thing that I've done. After this recent breakup that I've had, I've decided to put myself out there and just date whoever. Right, right.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing right now was talking about my ex.
Oh, you were one of those.
The entire time.
Oh, no.
What happened? It started innocent. We were talking about our exes, and then it just snowballed into Well, let me tell you one more thing about him.
Did
let
he
me just
call you out on it?
No, he was really nice.
Did he ask you out again?
We did not have a second
date.
Okay,
that's what I think. Yeah, I was on the receiving end of that a couple
years ago. But that is a stupid thing to do, and it just sometimes it just snowballs, and you can't help yourself. Things come up, and they do something that reminds you of something stupid that
your
ex did.
You're just making excuses. Just don't do it.
I know.
You did it.
I'm a horrible person.
You're a horrible person.
I know.
All right. Mine, I haven't done... I mean, other than getting, like, so drunk on a first date that you're like, I love this guy. It's going to be forever. And then, like, you never talk again, which we've all done several times. That's not even the most stupid thing. The most stupid is, like, I did three dates in one day once where, mm-hmm. like, it was an afternoon walk in the park and then drinks with a guy and then drinks with another guy after his show was done. He was an actor on Broadway.
Booked?
I triple booked. But I felt bad with the second guy because he had just moved to New York a couple weeks ago and we went out for drinks and he was an actor. And I'm used to like hour and a half, 2 hour first date drinks. And I could tell that at the end of that when I was like, shit, I got to go meet my friend after his show to meet the third guy. That he was like, oh, and we even like took the same train north together. And then I got off at Lincoln Center to go meet a third guy. And I was more interested in the third guy anyway. I ended up dating the third guy. But yeah. I did feel bad later being like, oh, that was a not nice first date.
No, you know,
thing.
This is a fast-paced city. You gotta book your dates when you can book them.
So yes,
as many as you can.
That's,
there. I don't blame
what
you at all.
That's what I did.
Jackie.
Welcome to my city. Yeah. Okay. We're getting to our. So we're gonna ask Steve and Lucas that question later.
I can't wait to hear what they say.
But before we get to that, John. So. Yes. How to be friends with an ex is what I want to talk about today. So
you might as well ask me the meaning of life because
Well, first of all, you went through a breakup in February.
Yes.
And you and I have talked at length about this in the past couple of weeks mm-hmm. about being friends with this person.
At length
about this.
Many
so
bottles.
So why with this person specifically do you feel like you needed to be friends with him? Do you have a name for him?
Let's call him San Diego.
San Diego. Okay. So why do you feel like you need to be friends with San Diego?
You know, I'm the kind of person that I connect with somebody and I, regardless of whether or not that relationship works, you connected for a reason. You know, if romantically you don't work out, there's still something there. There's still some kind of connection. So I'm not one to walk away from that. That's just me. This guy in particular, we were pretty hot and heavy and we said the L word a couple times. And so when it ended,
you weren't ready for it to end.
Well, you know, when one person's ready to leave, you have to be mature enough and say,
right,
yeah,
but you
I
still
accept
weren't,
that. But,
right, you accept it, but it doesn't mean you need
exactly.
to feel ready.
Well, you know, there were still some kind of feelings for him, and I just didn't want to lose him entirely.
Okay.
It was long distance, but I was prepared to, you know, not be romantic, but, you know, still have him.
Then over the period since February to now... Mm-hmm. It's not been smooth sailing friendship-wise. So what was he not giving you as a friend that you felt that you needed?
Basically anything. I mean, I think the absolute minimum a friend gives you is a return of a text, a return of a phone call, any kind of contact. Basically all he wanted to be was friends on Facebook.
Didn't you unfriend him on Facebook?
I did. When we initially broke up, I just feel like,
that's the first thing I do.
Exactly.
You break up with me,
for
we are healing, done on Facebook.
For the healing process, I don't want to see where you are. I don't want to see who you're with. And I don't want to see that you're having a good time. Because everybody puts, you know, the good pictures on Facebook. Nobody puts the, I'm crying in a corner by myself listening to Celine Dion.
I maybe do. I'm just kidding.
I do it
I don't.
All the time. So I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to delete you, but it's for the healing process. It's nothing, you know, out of spite or juvenile. It's just, this is why. And then when we started speaking again, you know, texting, he said, well, you just went away and you deleted me.
But he wasn't responding to you with texts you were sending him or emails.
No, after the initial breakup, when we had radio silence for a while, then we started talking again and we decided that we were going to be friends.
So why do you still pursue someone, though, if they don't respond?
I do not. That's what happened. I basically said, you know, I know you look at your phone. Everybody is attached to their phone. You know, there's no way that you can go 2 days without seeing a text from somebody. So the fact that I wasn't hearing from him for 2 days, I was like, you know what? Clearly you're ignoring me. I'm done. I'm out.
And you said that?
Yep.
When was this?
This was last week.
Last week? Ooh, yeah. So since you and I have talked. Wait, so did you do it via text or you called him?
I was not given the green light to call him.
Oh, so you couldn't call him.
Uh-uh.
So you texted him.
Uh-huh.
And what did you say exactly?
I just said, you know, I've tried. You know, you will always have a special place in my heart. I care about you. If you ever want to get in touch with me, feel free. I'm not going to put it out there anymore without any response from you. It kind of just, you know, makes me feel worse than I already do.
That was very honest of you. Yeah. I'm glad that you said that versus what we were talking about last
week. Oh, yeah. You always want to say, you always want to, like, you know, attack people and hurt them just as much as they hurt you. But
did he respond to that?
Nope.
At all?
Not at all.
Nothing?
Not at all.
How many days ago was that?
Not even a thumbs up emoji.
Wow. How many days ago was that?
About a week ago, about, you know, so how do 8 or 9 days ago.
So how do you feel?
Fine. You know, it sucks that, you know, that happens. It sucks that people just go away. I never want to do that. I always feel like we connected for a reason. You know, if it's not romantic, then maybe it's friendly. My best friend right now in the world, we dated for maybe 2 months. Mm. We didn't talk for a while after we broke up, but now we have the strongest friendship I've ever had in my life.
And you're ready to not have that with San Diego at all?
Well, you know, I just don't want to try if somebody's not going to try the same amount back.
Right.
You know,
it's just not worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're feeling better now about the breakup than were a week ago.
Well, you know,
I'm very
proud
of you because a week ago you were saying, like, I'm over him. This is about being friends. But I was getting a sense you weren't over him because you were so upset about him not being friends with you. To me, I was like, this guy's not being friends with you. He's not responding to your texts. You were in LA. He's in San Diego. Right. You don't see each other.
In my situation, when you break
hurt.
Up. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that sucks
for me
to
personally,
be double hurt by someone.
This breakup was a very odd breakup. There was no closure. There was no face-to-face discussion. It was all over a phone. It was all long distance, and there was really no reason as to why he wanted to end.
Oh God,
so,
I hate that.
Exactly.
I hate
so. Of
people.
Course, you know, when you're alone after a breakup and you're thinking the worst, you're thinking, "Oh my God, I am a horrible person. I drove him away. I did this." You know, and really, it wasn't me. It was, you know, and it took me a long time to figure this out. It's him. You know, he had a lot of baggage and he couldn't commit or whatever, and he just didn't want to be the bad guy and say, I want to break up.
I want to point out that was only 2 months since you broke up till you got to this point. Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome because right. I've been there for longer with the only ex that I'm not friends with.
You know, it took a lot of booze to get to this place.
Alcohol is helpful.
You know, friends and alcohol is the way to heal.
Yeah. I don't know if that's half of that is the best advice to be giving to people, but I think most people can relate
to
that.
I am not a psychiatrist. I'm just an honest
just
person.
Saying, booze and friendship. I think that is a great place to leave off, and that we should take a break.
So, yeah, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Stephen Lucas from Jerry Mag. But before we go, a few times throughout the season, Love Bites is going to be polling our audience about the kind of relationship topics you want to hear. So if you already have a few ideas for what guests we should have on or what discussions we really should have, email us at lovebitesradio.com, tweet or Facebook us at lovebitesradio. Or even take a sexy selfie and send it to us on Instagram because, you know, we're both single and we want to see what our audience looks like.
And one of our guests coming up is single, too, so we're going to get to
really
that
excited.
One. So,
Jackie's a little Yenta over here. All right, so now a quick note from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Brian Alberg, and I'm the executive chef at Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts is a casual restaurant where good, honest, uncomplicated food is served to our guests. Our restaurant is part of the hotel called Hotel On North, the newly opened boutique hotel in downtown Pittsfield. We source local ingredients from our neighboring farms and offer an all-day dining menu of flavorful American cuisine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and on weekends we serve brunch. Our oyster bar serves up delicious shellfish and oyster samplers until 11 p.m. Check out our menu at eatonnorth.com and follow us on Instagram.
Jerry Mag is a biannual print magazine that explores where food and gay culture intersect, bringing together a community of gay chefs, eaters, artisans, writers, photographers, artists, and industry influencers to celebrate the art of gay domesticity. In the studio today, we have Steve Vixjo, the creative director of Jerry and the Brooklyn-based graphic design and branding studio Vixjo. Steven is married and has been with his partner for 14 years now. Lucas Folger is the editorial director of Jerry and a 3-time cookbook author, and he is single. For more, visit jerrymag.com or find them on all platforms as @jerrymag. There is an adorable little girl
run outside the studio right now that is making all of us smile. The joy of live radio at Heritage behind a pizza restaurant. So welcome to
the show, guys.
Hey.
Before we jump into asking you questions, we have a wine sponsor today. So if you guys want to take a sip for me, our wine sponsor is the 2014 Dry Rosé from Simi Winery in Sonoma County. It is 82% Cab Sauv, 12% Merlot, 5% Malbec, and 1% Syrah. It comes from all over Alexander Valley, Russian River Valley, things like that. So what are you guys tasting in this rosé, and what would you drink it with?
Just deliciousness in a glass is what I'm tasting.
Deliciousness is in a glass?
It's like Melanie.
Melanie?
I would say less. It's not so like... Oh, God.
So it's like putting juicy you guys fruit. On
I would say this would go great with ramen. That's all I'll say. It would go good with ramen.
Ramen and a sunset.
Ramen and a sunset.
Absolutely.
So the Sitting 2014
outside in the sun, drinking this.
Simi Rosé is ramen and a sunset. Yeah, I agree. I think it's nice and crisp at the end there, and it's got just enough heft that you're not going to float away with
dry,
it.
It's dry, like a dry
It's dry,
rosé.
Yeah. It's a nice dry rosé.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simi, for getting us all nice and toasty today on this beautiful 70-degree weather New York City day. So, gentlemen, you have the second issue of your magazine out right now. Everybody go to Jerry Mag and grab it. Why start a magazine about the gay food community lifestyle?
There's a couple reasons. I think the first one is that it didn't exist, and it was a magazine that three of us, there's three of Alex, who's not here, but Steve, Alex, myself, magazine that we wanted to read. It didn't exist, even though there's a lot of gay guys that work in the food industry, both in the kitchens and gay media or in food media, and just sort of broadly across the food industry. And then there's this great historical precedent for it. A lot of people still don't know. I mean, I'm sure all your listeners do, but that James Beard was a gay guy, and who was like the forefather of American cooking.
He's got a house, and he's got awards, and he's got
and everything. Like Craig Claiborne, Rachel Only, and like I just saw this great documentary about Jeremiah Tower, and like there's just a lot of really significant figures throughout food history that are gay guys, and their gayness has always been kind of a footnote to their legacy, and we wanted to create a publication that would be a place where you could explore that kind of history and push it forward.
So what do you feel your contribution in your first two issues has really been to fill that gap? What is your sort of editorial focus for the kind of stories that you want to have out there?
Well, our first one we have, our feature article is by John Birdsall, and it just got a James Beard Award nomination. We'll find out tomorrow night if it wins.
Yay.
But it's called Straight Up Passing, the State of the Queer Kitchen. I believe that's the subtitle. I'm blanking right now.
The State of Queer Chefs in America.
The State of Queer Chefs in America. And it sort of asks this question, why aren't there more out gay chefs? And he does a quick survey of history and then sort of comes to this conclusion now that a lot of like the chefs that are working today have the privilege of being able to pass because there are a lot of like, there are a lot of white guys and there are a lot of sort of straight acting white guys, largely because of the culture of the kitchen. But that's one of the conclusions that he comes to. And so that's kind of an original thought on the subject that I hadn't seen articulated or explored. And I think that really is like pushed the conversation forward.
Yeah, it's funny because being somebody who writes often about why there are not more minority executive chefs in the kitchen, I write and report on women and that state of that. I feel horrible that I hadn't thought about why that lack in executive positions specifically is not highlighted even more. But I think like, John, you had a question when we were talking before the show about sort of how it seems like the gay lifestyle is so assimilated already into the kitchen,
into the food world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think gay culture lends itself to being able to go out and try restaurants and sit and enjoy and, you know, so, I mean, I was just, you know, just thinking.
So what kind of contributions are you guys seeing that you feel like need to be highlighted as their own, as like an individual contribution to food and hospitality?
Well, things that weren't already folded into the mainstream, that weren't already, you know, there.
Well, I mean, the story is like Lucas, I've heard him describe the magazine many times this way, that we had an idea of the kind of stories that we would tell, but it was more important to put it out there that we were looking to create a magazine that explored all content at the intersection of food culture and gay culture and see what came back to us. And we've had a number of contributions. We're getting more and more all the time, which are very exciting. As creative director, I get a lot of art submissions, and people have great ideas and things that we would never have necessarily thought of when we were creating the concept a year ago. And a lot of those have come in and have made it definitely through to the magazine. And so it's been more community-driven. So they have ideas about, you know, if you pose the question, what is gay food? Or like, we weren't even looking to answer that. We were looking more to ask the question. And a lot has come in, which has been the most exciting part about it.
Like in our first issue, we have this great graphic essay by Levi Hastings, who's a, he's like, what do you call him? He's an artist, but
he's an illustrator, and he does graphic, a lot of graphic comic style in his own personal time. So we wanted him to do something for us, to hire him to do one for us.
And he has this story about, so he's married, and his husband is not out to his Greek mother. But so they go together to go visit his parents, and she doesn't realize that she's his son-in-law. But the way he's, and you know, right. What she does or doesn't know is a kind of like, sort of subjective in that way. But the way that he's gotten to like establish a relationship with her is by cooking with her in the kitchen. So like little stories like that, they're really surprising.
Right. That ways. Piece was beautiful. And he told this, you know, a whole story arc in one spread, probably maybe 10 panels. And he did it so beautifully. He like was one of the many contributors who managed to hit exactly the kind of content we were looking for and looking to tell in a single spread. Yeah. So that Levi is amazing. And he has content in our issue too, as well.
Why do you feel like there's been sort of a repression of these stories among what I'm going to put air quotes around mainstream media?
Well, I think by and large, food media is, and this is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm a big consumer of food media, but it's largely aimed for a female audience.
Ah.
So even though this was another, some of the impetus for creating the magazines, I know that there's all these gay guys that work as photographers, as stylists, as recipe developers, as writers, as critics, and by and large, and through mainstream food media, are creating content for women. And so I think that there just hasn't necessarily been an outlet. I think the stories are there, but there hasn't really been an outlet for it.
So speaking of women, when I look through the masthead of both of your issues, there's not a lot of women listed particularly. So are you focusing specifically on the male gay lifestyle, or are you going to start incorporating more lesbian women into the mix as well?
Yeah, our tagline is, and jump in, our tagline is men plus food plus men, which
right.
is a brilliant.
And the Jerry definition is a man, right? I mean,
Jerry means food in Polari.
I'm sorry, I must have misread something completely on your, I thought that a Jerry was a man who was.
Well, we created, when we were branding the magazine.
You created the term that's been in my head. I was like,
that's
just what a Jerry is.
We made Jerry both food and Polari.
Oh.
And we've created a Jerry type, which is a man who loves men and food.
Gotcha.
So we gave Jerry two definitions. Ours was number two. And it's becoming the much more commonly used definition.
So that already got in my head, I think, just from looking at all of your platforms. Like, well, Jerry, that's just what it is.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So that sort of maybe answers my question, but you do have some women involved in the mix. So how is that going to play out or develop further?
Well, we are open to all kinds of stories and any type of, you know, whatever contributors across the whole spectrum. Right now the focus for our audience is we really want to focus sort of squarely on men, gay men and food, or that being our audience. I think that a magazine being a living, breathing thing, it'll probably evolve a lot as we go forward. But we wanted to start out with that kind of tight focus.
Gotcha.
Well, let me ask a little, maybe take it to a darker side.
I was like, I think it's time to take it
to
a spicier
side. Yeah, let's go there.
Yeah.
Working in the industry, a lot of chefs are notorious Lotharios. I mean, they're very dominant in the kitchen, and they, for the most part, you know, they kind of like throw out their machismo out there. You know, is that true for gay chefs as well?
I would say absolutely. I just took a giant sip of my rosé.
Lucas has worked in kitchens. I've never worked in one myself, so that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the culture of it is that it's very isolated. Everybody works really long hours. Yeah. They're super sweaty. They're super exhausted. So it's like when it's time to get laid, you're just going to like reach for whatever.
Plus, there's no political correctness.
No, you know? There isn't.
I mean, there's no PR.
Closed door space.
I mentioned it before, but I just saw this great documentary about Jeremiah Tower, who was one of the founding chefs at Chez Panisse, and he went on to open the restaurant Stars in San Francisco, which is sort of a legendary restaurant in the history of American restaurants. And he was just like, yeah, I sleep with everybody.
And so Lucas, being single, has that, I'm a writer in the industry, and there's I think flirtation across the board. Like, we work in a profession with hospitality and food and culture and art, where generally artists are more friendly, emotional and affectionate. And I've definitely been in situations where I'm like, is this person flirting? I don't know. Like, so how does, when you guys bring together all of these different types of artists, and I assume you're also out and about in the culinary world, like, how does that come into play with the kind of relationships that you have with the people you're working with.
Without naming
in
names.
In a romantic nature.
I'm trying to find what... can you just repeat the question there?
Well, the direct question, I guess, would be if somebody were asking me this, would be like, have you slept with, you know, people in the culinary industry?
Yeah.
Is there... Are
oh,
the,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, are the ins and... I mean, because I just feel like it's a less... those lines of professionalism are a little bit blurrier.
There's no... There's, you know, in the food industry, there's no HR department. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I mean, within reason.
In the gay industry, there's no HR department either. Right. So it's a combination of the two. Yeah.
Well, that's my... Right. Yeah, that really is my question. Is like, so is that like, I mean, gay men are generally much more affectionate than, you know, straight women.
Say what you're actually saying, Jackie.
Is it more? No, is it more?
Gay men
is it,
are sluts. That's what you're saying.
I don't There's like no the word around. Slut.
Yeah, you won't get objection from anyone.
I might have done a soapbox segment about women having sex without shame, so I don't want to use that word. But yeah, but I mean, like, is it sort of, you know, that friendly, sensual environment to, you know, a higher level in the gay community versus the straight community?
I would say yes. I mean, I don't know the straight community. It's been, you know, nearly 20 years since I've been a part of that. But I would say, yeah, it does seem like in the gay community at large, there's an affection, there's a camaraderie of shared experience that kind of, I think, blurs into other categories for sure.
Well, now, Steve, specifically for you, what's the biggest challenge about being married in your profession? Do you have to, you know, put up blocks when people are kind of flirting with you?
Well, yeah, but Dan and I have been together for 14 years and married for 5 of those. In terms of that, I think that's like when you're married at a certain point, you stop considering there's actual flirtation with the hope of anything. So you just kind of have fun flirting. And I think that's true of both of us.
I think that's true of you know, hetero and gay lifestyle as well.
Exactly. And the relationship we have, you know, it's honest with each other. So that none of us would have to ever worry that a flirtation meant something else.
Aww.
So I personally just have fun with it.
That's very healthy. That's very good.
What is generally the most challenging thing about your relationship right now? Which, as a single person, and my co-hosts are always single people, it sort of makes us feel better to know that it's the struggles on the other side of that too. So personally, what is like either just something annoying or like something that's sort of struggling about being with somebody for 14 years that you guys have to sort of
changing together. And so Jari came about more than a year ago at this point, which seems it's hard to believe it's been longer than that. But it's a huge project, and all of us have day jobs, and so Jari takes up a lot of time, and you know that night project ends up, you're almost married to it in a way. So I think the biggest challenge is turning it off and being able to sort of like, in a moment's notice, switch to Jari, switch to personal time.
How do you do that?
I'm a creative director, and I own my own design business on the side as my full-time job. So I feel like I've been doing that for more than a decade. I can just close my laptop and be like, oh, great, I'm done. And I can have a major deadline the next day, but I'm able to compartmentalize those things. So I think that's helped me with this, too. I mean, we are on constant 3-way texts all day long, every day, of content coming up, Instagram stuff, thinking about the magazine. And so being able to know, okay, I need to actually turn my phone off because it's the weekend and it's Dan time.
Gotcha. And Lucas, so being single... both for the men that you work with, for Jari, and just for our general listening audience, what are you looking for in a gentleman?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't, I'm going to like detour that question and say one thing that surprised me about Jari, because I was really hungry for this community when we started, because I knew there were all these gay guys, and I feel like a lot of gay guys spend their 20s sort of like hanging out with a bunch of girls until you like find your group of guys. And Jari is, in some ways, like how I've like built more of a gay community. But I'm so surprised with Jari that they are a very domestic crew. It's a really the guys that are interested in food like are like by and large like coupled gay guys, and I don't know what that means about it. But
I think that happens when we all get older anyway too. If you're not in your 20s in general in New York City, I feel like by your 30s everybody's sort of, especially in the food world, like you said, like people like want to do their nerdy cooking at home and throw dinner parties versus going out as late as we might have.
I guess so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And marriage equality, like achieving that, I think months into the Jari project last year, did kind of add a domestic tone to things, and that just sort of naturally, maybe it's just that we aged into the more domestic, you know, dinner party age group, or that fueled something in the gay community too, to talk more about, oh, maybe there's something to building a home. And food naturally comes with
that. Do you
see
yourself moving more in that direction now with, you know, having children and having a home, and, you know, that's where...
No, Dan, I said we're very honest with each other. We're very honest in the fact that we don't want kids. But yes, in terms of building a home and family and sort of nesting in a more... we had talked about family meal and the gay agenda in the first issue.
Right.
Very much like collecting your family of friends, mm-hmm. and we both have wonderful families.
Yeah.
But we're at that point in our lives where friends are becoming even closer family knit.
Yeah.
All right. So, Lucas, I'm not letting you off the hook for this, though. So what I mean, so because, you know, again, being single people, we talk about the kind of relationship we really do want to bring into our lives. So not even on a superficial level, but like, what do you want out of, especially since you're the art of gay domesticity is what you guys focus on with your magazine. Like, what do you want your gay domesticity relationship to sort of, you know,
I mean, personally, like I think I've got the domesticity thing that like I have a beautiful single life. And in terms of like the home and everything, I'm most excited about relationships, about traveling and experiencing new things and really like broadening my horizons. So gotcha. Like when I date people, I'm most excited about people who I learn stuff from.
Okay. All right. So we'll put that out there.
That
in the
is
world.
A deep answer.
That is a very deep answer.
I like it.
And I want to see what your house looks like now.
Oh, no, my house isn't that nice, but I cook really well and I have nice things.
What's your like seduction dish?
I think things that are collaborative. So like I've had dates where we make ravioli together or like pizza's really good.
Like you do the dough with your hands.
Yeah, exactly. You do just like collaborate a little bit. I think that like gets things going.
I'm
going
to steal that one. I've never been
that's a good idea.
On a date. Oh yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well,
I'm having a dinner party tonight.
You are? No, you're not.
No.
I was like, wait, you're going out with me. What are you doing? All right. So before we let you guys go at the top of the show, I asked John what's the worst thing he's done on a first date. So will you guys, I know, Steve, it's been a while, but if you can think way back.
It has.
Do you guys have any bad things you've done on a first date that...
Well, you know, mine, I can't say it's bad because we did end up getting married in the end, 9 years later. But I was in New York and he was new to New York. And for whatever reason, I thought it was a good idea for a first date for this person who's really very new to New York. Like he moved days. I met him actually on his first day in New York to take him to Veg City Diner, which is now gone.
Okay.
And it's aside from being a diner, which is not a great first date place, imposing your eating preference of vegetarian food on a first date is also not recommended, but it worked out for me.
So what did he hate what he ate?
No, he loved it. And now, you know, 14 years later, he's still eating a lot of vegetarian food.
Oh, so that, I don't know if that counts, but we'll take it.
Right.
We'll take it because it worked. You know, so we'll
a G-rated
we'll,
answer, I
wouldn't recommend
I
taking a date to a vegetarian restaurant
on
later.
A first date.
Yeah.
I have feel wait. So you're still vegetarian?
I'm pescatarian now.
Pescatarian. Okay. John, do you date vegetarians, John?
I have. It's difficult.
It just takes out most of my seduction dishes to date a vegetarian.
Right.
I'd have to like come up with a whole repertoire of like third date dishes.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas. What about you?
I'm kind of scraping
done?
The bottom of the barrel here, but so I thought of because there's a lot of dates that sort of bleed together. But when I first started on Grindr, which I'm sure all your listeners know what Grindr was.
Course.
I don't know. What's Grindr?
Grindr. No,
he's
kidding.
Like he's like flipping right now.
I'm on it
he's
right
imagining.
Now, actually.
Yeah.
But
I
had this one like hot and heavy weekend of like, oh, this is what everybody's been talking about. And I ended up chatting with this guy who was just like too hot for words. It was, and I now know that it was like a stock image of a hot guy, but it was like all these chats and it was like, oh, let's have dinner tomorrow. It's like, oh my God, let's have dinner. So like changing all my plans for Monday night and like, you know, just the disappointment of, I guess the
wait,
biggest,
no, what happened?
Nothing happened.
It
was like a Grindr bot or something.
Oh, a catfish.
A catfish.
They're called, yeah.
Oh,
they're
I just
called?
Heard that okay. term for the first
yeah,
time.
That's
I
what the kids are
right.
calling it these days.
All right. Well, I got catfished.
So you just showed up and nobody was there?
No, I didn't even show up. It never got far along to be like, it just kind of like disappeared, but emotionally I got very invested.
That's
in it.
Something that that straight men talk about too. Like a guy emailed me, he's like, "Oh, I hope I'm not getting catfished," but blah blah blah. And I had to look it up.
You know,
like I don't think
on,
women
it's
get
a show on
that,
MTV.
Really?
Wait, what does
really?
Yeah. What, can you explain?
Basically, somebody uses a fake profile or fake picture or whatever, gets somebody involved, gets somebody drawn in, and you know, for whatever reason, either just to mess with their minds or you know maybe they're just insecure about what they look like. It varies, but basically it's just somebody just screwing with somebody.
Yeah. And then it happens, I think. And then I hear from a lot of guys who, a lot of women in other countries who want to, you know, come or what, I don't know. That's what they said. They get a lot of Russian model people. But also just that, yeah, that they'll get sort of, they'll get catfished, I guess mm-hmm. you'd say, into a lot of email correspondence that will turn into a relationship that never materializes.
Or there's
which
also
I guess was the same thing you experienced,
yeah.
which I had never heard of until a week
this
ago.
This is like four years
yeah.
ago.
And there's also the pic collectors, they call them, the people that just say, oh, send me a picture, send me a shirtless picture, send me a you know naked picture, whatever. And they just, you keep sending pictures and they never meet you. They never,
really?
You know, yeah.
They use it to catfish
it's,
someone else.
Exactly. It's creepy out there.
But they're just saving them for...
I'm going to teach you so much, Jackie.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad we're going on after this. Well, Steve and Lucas, thank you so much for coming on
Thanks,
the show.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys.
Listeners, please go to Jarrymag. I was saying Jerry before. I feel horrible. Jarrymag, JarryMag.com, and find them on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
And we have we're having a release party for our next issue on Wednesday at the Museum of Food and Drink, 6:30. We've got tickets are $20. They include a copy of the magazine, a bunch of cocktails, lots of fun people. More information on our website.
Everybody should come. And the Museum of Food and Drink is an awesome space to have a launch party. So yeah. Awesome.
And these guys are really, really cute. You should come and see them.
You should, yeah, definitely come. And there's more information on lovebitesradio.com and more information on heritageradionetwork.org. Thank you so much. That is our show today. Next week, you'll be hearing from Ben and I in that pre-recorded show about going to an ex's wedding. I have not heard it since we recorded it, and I'm already getting embarrassed about maybe what I said as John and I prepare to go to this
you
wedding.
You can always edit.
Yeah, so listen to that next week. I will be driving back to New York while it happens and listening and cringing. Until then, thanks to our engineer, David. Our theme song is Give Love by Josh Dion. And we are Jacqueline Repose and Jonathan Wiener. Love Bites will be back at the same time next week here at heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.